Welcome to my favourite Elliott Smith song. If you haven't listened to us before, we're all about keeping Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi and welcome to episode 8 of the season. Aaron Lee Tasjan is our guest for this one. Aaron is a musician, songwriter and producer from Tennessee. We first connected with Aaron when he played at the All My Rowdy Friends Elliott Smith tribute show hosted by New Monkey Studio in 2024. And we've been keen to get him on the podcast ever since. And in this interview, he talks more about that tribute show and playing the song he picked to discuss here, Independence Day from EXO. So here's Aaron talking to Elizabeth with Stanley.
My name is Aaron Lee Tasjan. I am a songwriter, performer, and recording artist based in Nashville, Tennessee.
And what is your favorite Elliott Smith song?
My favorite Elliott Smith song is Independence Day.
How did this song make it to the top of your charts for Elliott Smith?
Well, you know, it's so hard. I'm sure probably everybody says this. It's an almost impossible challenge to choose a favorite Elliott Smith song. But this one in particular, it really kind of made its way into my musical world when I was a young person. My sister, actually, who's a little younger than I am, she was the first one in our house to discover Elliott Smith. And she always used to make, when she was in middle school, she always used to make these great mix CDs. And sometimes she would leave them just kind of laying around, and I would just pop them in and check out, see what she was listening to. And that song, Independence Day, was on one of her mix CDs. And I know this is a bit of maybe point of contention even for some Elliott Smith fans, but I had been, this is totally true, I had been listening to the record Simon and Garfunkel's Greatest Hits a lot at that point. And I was just very into sort of acoustic-driven, lyrical, forward music that that had great melodies. And I did not think that Elliott Smith sounded anything like Simon and Garfunkel. I know that was a little bit of a thing, like when his first record was getting reviewed, his first solo album was getting reviewed. It's like people would say, or somebody said, that it sounded like Simon and Garfunkel. But I had been listening to them a bunch, and when I heard Independence Day, I was like, oh, cool, this has some similarities to that music. Like it's sort of acoustic driven. But there is a rhythm, you know, there's drums there and stuff like that. I loved the sort of mellowness of the, Wurlitzer piano on the track. His voice obviously, is extremely captivating. Like the first time that you hear Elliott Smith, it's kind of like, I would imagine it's kind of like if you've like you couldn't see color or something, and then all of a sudden like somebody flips a switch and like you suddenly see like, oh man, the sky is, you know, is blue, and you know, and the trees are brown and the leaves are green and all that kind of stuff. It really was like somebody kind of turned on a light switch in my mind.
Future butterfly, gonna spend the day higher than high.
So Independence Day was kind of the gateway into Elliott Smith for you?
Yeah.
And then you thought, I want to hear more by this guy?
Oh, yeah. I thought I need to hear everything I can find that he's done. Like, I had listened to, other kinds of music at the time that was sort of like, I kind of identify Elliott as like a songwriter who was influenced by the Beatles, mm-hmm. And so I was listening to other groups that had a similar, bands like Apples and Stereo, what's the name of the band that, did the Supergrass, I guess, was another one. A lot of those kind of groups. And then hearing Elliott, it was like those people, I felt like I could hear the influence of the Beatles on their music. Elliott, to me, it felt like I could hear the influence, but like somehow he had made it totally his own. Mm-hmm. Where there was something about it that was like instantly identifiable, like as something else, as Elliott's specifically his music. It's something about just the way the chord, like he would use changes that he would use chord changes in harmony that I had heard in Beatles songs, but he wasn't using them in a way that felt directly tied to that. It was almost like he was like taking those elements and sort of playing with them, There was a playfulness about his version of it that I immediately was able to like identify as Elliott Smith. Mm. So there was a difference there, Like he really was kind of more, more unique, And I think like that was one of the things that I really loved about the lyrics too. The lyrics in Independence Day, were just so like, I don't know. I was kind of a sad kid, and they just immediately like spoke to me. I was sad, but I was hopeful, I guess I should say, And so opening the song with the line "Future Butterfly," just hearing that, like, I was like, oh man, yes. Like one day I'm gonna be cool. Still waiting for that day to come. But I had a hard time in school and stuff like that. And just hearing those words come out of his mouth, "Future Butterfly," I was like, oh, okay, cool. You're gonna spend the day higher than high, you'll be a beautiful confusion. Whatever he meant by that, to me, it was like a safety. I immediately felt safe within the walls of those words. Like, it's okay that people don't understand you, you may be a confusion, but like, it's beautiful. You know what I mean? And then, of course he ends that stanza by saying like, that's how I used to be, once I was you. So it's kind of, I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of like meeting like somebody who you know you're going to be friends with, like, for the rest of your life. Like, you know how sometimes you meet those people and you're like, oh man, I'm going to be, I just know, like, this was, like, meant to be, kind of like, I'm going to be friends with this person forever. Like, hearing those first few lines, like, that's kind of how I felt as a listener. Like, man, I just found somebody I'm probably going to listen to, like, for the rest of my life.
And also sort of this interesting introspection on time also, right? That things aren't fixed and that they can change and become something different.
Exactly. It kind of gives you the, you know, I think it's easy sometimes, like if you're dealing with something like depression or something like that, to feel stuck. And this song is very, like, unstuck. You know, like, it's like, there's attachment, but it's like, but it's almost attachment to, like remaining open and, like, curiosity and, like, sort of acknowledging what is finite about, you know, being a human being and living and dying and all that kind of stuff, you know, 'cause he says, it's like, everybody knows you only live a day, you know? So there's this acknowledgement that, you know, for human beings, you know, time is not, you know, never ending. Like, we have a finite amount of time, but, like, you know, I think it's kind of, to me, the song was sort of encouraging me not to feel anxiety around feeling stuck, and that, you know, even though there is only a finite amount of time, like, things change within the scope of that time, and they might change for the better, and how there's sort of things that you can do, you know, to maybe even influence that a little bit. You know, it's like, don't get so consumed in your worry about this that you kind of think yourself into, like, or feel yourself into a deeper hole, you know. You know, cause that there's that last part of the song where he says, like, you know, it's going to happen soon, but not today. Go to sleep amid the change. You know, it's almost like, I'll meet you here tomorrow, you know, like, it's almost like hibernating or something like that, you know, is how I kind of look at it, you know, which is like, that's the order of nature, you know, animals, you know that they're going to go through, like, a lean season where food and things that, you know, they rely on for energy and all that are not going to be as available as they are during other times of the year. So, you know, they go to sleep while that transformation in nature is taking place, and they come out and then they're ready to sort of, you know, face the world again. And so that, you know, I kind of took that same sort of meaning, I think, away from, you know, the song. It's just like, I can, I'm not necessarily going to, you know, ignore, how I feel, but at the same time, like, I'm not going to, like, fixate on all those thoughts and feelings, because, again, it's like, they're, you know, time will change them, and I'll come out of it and have a different experience. I was a very world weary, like, 13, 14, 15 year old kid. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what he intended, you know, originally, like, you know, to say with these lyrics, but, like, I think that's the magic of songwriting too. It's like, when you do it really well, like he did, people can find their own story in it and relate things directly out of their own life. And that's when you get that magical feeling of, like, I know there's no way this song could be about me, 'cause, like, we don't know each other, you know, but it really feels like it is, you know, it's a cool thing.
Optimistic. That was the word I was trying to think of.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Absolutely.
I saw you caught between all the people out making a scene, and a bright ideal to
So I met you about a year and a half ago at the Elliott Smith tribute show that New Monkey Studio put on here in Los Angeles, and yeah. you were part of that, and you covered a few songs, and Independence Day was one of them. Can you talk about your experience there at the tribute show and how it was covering that song and some of the other songs you were involved with?
Absolutely. I knew of New Monkey from playing guitar for a band called Everest. And that was sort of, the co-captain of Everest, Joel Graves, is one of the proprietors of the establishment of New Monkey Studios. So Everest rehearsed there and did some recording there. Through that connection, I ended up making a few records of my own at New Monkey, my In the Blazes album and my Silver Tears record, both made there. So when this concert came up, it was very easy, because I love for a guy like me, who's a big Elliott Smith fan, but also just a fan of, songs and records and stuff in general, a space like New Monkey is kind of hallowed ground, really. So I wanted to, very much to participate in the show, and knowing, who else was going to be involved, who the house band was going to be, all the folks who used to play with Elliott, which I had watched those videos on YouTube like a million times, his set from Mount Fuji and, all of his late night TV appearances. And so I was familiar with all the different musicians that were going to be, part of the house band and all that. And then there were also I had seen Granddaddy open for Pete Yorn in Columbus, Ohio at the Promo West Pavilion in like 2002 or three, I think. And become a massive Granddaddy fan at that show. So there were also some of those other tie-ins too, of like some of the other artists that were going to be singing some of Elliott's music that was really exciting for me. It was really cool. Just like walking into New Monkey, all those guys were set up, and just playing through Elliott songs, and I was jazzed, to be walking into a situation where, it was those guys, playing that music and hearing it. And, because like musicians are so cool in that, their little personality quirks and stuff like that, it all comes out in the playing, mm-hmm. So one person playing the same drum part, could sound totally, different to a guy like me who's really paying attention to nuances and kind of really zooming in when somebody's playing something. He could sound exactly he could sound completely different rather than another person interpreting the exact same drum part, So getting to hear those specific musicians playing that music, I was like, oh man, there it is. This sounds exactly like that version of Son of Sam that, he played on I think it was Conan maybe. And you know, and Aaron Embry, you know, man, what a magical being he is. Although I think the version that I'm thinking of on that Elliot did on Conan had maybe Brad Meldow playing piano on it.
And, you know, you being a fan of Independence Day, did you say to Joel, hey, I'd really love to cover Independence Day? How did that come about?
Yeah, I think, you know, there was a few. Well, I had covered it before. And I had covered it on like Instagram and stuff like that. A few different ways. You know, Elliot's way that he played it, in this sort of drop open C tuning, is really cool and unique. And I learned that version, but then like, you know, I was also at one point I was playing it in an open D tuning, and using some slightly different, you know, versions of the chords and stuff like that. But obviously, I wanted to get as faithful to the original as I could for the version at the tribute concert. So kind of went back and listened to that, studied that, you know, and got that together. It kind of seemed like I basically came in, like there were, you know, there were those, you know, Elliot's songs are not, you know, just sort of easily learned and performed, at least not in my experience. You know, he had a very deep sense of musicality that he was expressing. It almost seemed like if you look back on the videos, you know, what his hands are doing, you know, a lot of times almost seems kind of simple. It's sort of bewildering in a way to watch it because you're like, sometimes what you're witnessing, what his hands are doing and what you're hearing come out of the instrument, it doesn't even seem possible. yeah, you sort of learn, you know, some of his little moves and stuff like that. It's like, we all have those as artists. You know, these little kind of idiosyncrasies about the way that we play. And it's like, once you kind of nail those down, you know, they will apply to many, songs of his. But yeah, I kind of came in, you know, having done, you know, a bunch of homework, and it seemed, you know, like basically we just sort of played the songs with the band at New Monkey like once or twice. And they were like, okay, great. He, you know, this guy like knows his songs. this was easy. And just kind of, you know, that was really all the time and effort that got put into it. Obviously like those guys, probably did a bunch of homework beforehand as well, I would assume. But yeah, it was pretty easy going, you know. Once we kind of got in there and got down to playing those songs, we just kind of played them a couple times. Went, man, this sounds cool. It sounds like we're all in the spirit, you know. Yeah. And I think that's as much as you can really do, you know, at a tribute show. It's just kind of try, you know, your very best to be in the spirit of the artist and the song, you know, when you're performing it. You know, so that translates to the audience, you know, because like a tribute to me is really sort of, it's an act of love, you know, it's a loving act to say, we remember you, we honor you with these performances, we honor what you created. You know, it's like all the people that were in that room, in the audience that night to see the show, you know, that is what Elliot created, you know, while he was here on this earth. You know, he created his musical world that drew those listeners in. So all of us were there for him, you know, but those listeners, you know, I mean, yes, you know, we're known performers and all that. And so there might be a little bit of a draw there, but like the main reason that we're all there is because of what Elliot created. So in that way, you know, doing a performance, of his music that feels faithful to his intention of where he was coming from with it when he would perform it himself, you know, that's showing the respect, you know, that's showing the respect to the music, showing respect to the artist, and most importantly, showing respect to that audience that is there because of that musical world that he built. And it's kind of like the way we all kind of tip our hat to each other to say like, yeah, man, like I love this too. I feel this too. And I, you know, as a performer, I appreciate when artists encapsulate, you know, the person they're paying tribute to in that way. And as an audience member, you know, I feel the same way.
I mean, I think it's interesting what you're saying, that, you know, the tribute show wasn't about you performing there on stage. It was about your appreciation for Elliot and, you know, trying to bring your musical talents to his songs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, is there maybe anything that we didn't touch upon about Elliot Smith that you feel like can't be left out of this conversation?
Yeah. There, one thing that occurs to me is just that, you know, I think a lot of times like people tend to think of like Elliot's music as like, as being sad, you know, or as him being a sad person. I think like for me, you know, we did touch on like the sort of the hope and the optimism that I found in his music, as a young person. And I think that is an important distinction to draw maybe for people who aren't, necessarily as familiar with his work, and who he was, as, you know, folks like you and I might be. You know, there is a tremendous amount of like, of optimism, I think, and hopefulness in what he wrote, as well. You know, he definitely, it's not a, what do they call it? Like toxic positivity now or something like that. There's none of that. You know what I mean? Like it's all very ground. It all feels very grounded in reality and truth to me. Mm-hmm. But like he found a way to be like objectively, sort of optimistic, I think, in a lot of his writing. And, you know, as a young person, that just gave me a lot of hope for myself and for my future. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there as like for anybody that might be listening to this, that's like new to the world of Elliot Smith and might be, you know, thinking it's like, oh, he's like a sensitive, you know, brokenhearted songwriter or whatever. You know, I think there is some of that in his music, but I think there's also like just a lot of hope and as we said earlier, like optimism in there too. I know that I found that to be very helpful to hear as a young person. So just kind of throwing that out there to maybe counter any of the idea that might exist that Elliot was, you know, like super depressed or something like that.
Today, so go to sleep. I'll meet you here tomorrow. Independence Day, Independence Day, Independence Day.
Thank you very much to Aaron for being a guest on the podcast. There are links in the episode notes if you'd like to find out more about him and his work. And that's pretty much it for today. We'll be back with another episode in a couple of weeks' time. In the meantime, please do give us a follow on social media. We're at MyFaveESmithSong. Thanks for listening. See you soon.